Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, the creative sector as a development opportunity.
For too long, we've been locked in the mindset where it's extractive industries. Let's get all gold, let's get silver and stuff. But we put so much of our energies and eggs in one basket, and we neglect things like the creative sector because we are thinking, oh, there's no money in it.
Patrick Kabanda is a consultant for the Office of the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at the World Bank and author of Music Going for a Song, published in the September 2016 edition of Finance and Development magazine. Do you think that creativity in general is less valued in developing countries than it is in advanced economies?
Yes, Bruce, that's true to a certain extent. I think it's not entirely true. For example, here in Washington, D.C., not maybe some years ago, they brought in Joshua Bell, a very famous American violinist, to play at the Elephant Plaza in Washington, D.C. And Mr. Bell plays a violin which costs $3.5 million. But when he was down there in the metro station, the most he could make for his I think about 45-minute performance was $32 and some change.
Okay. From people throwing money into his hat.
Yeah, so basically that shows you that the way we attach value to things is different, depends on the context. And okay, the key word here is, I think, value or valuation. Like in developing countries, people love music. I think I can tell from my own country, Uganda, people love music. But the way I think we are not yet appreciate how actually that can be used in economic development and social progress. And for governments to invest in seeing how can this creativity we have in things like music, movies, be part of our export earnings.
And what do you think the potential is for cultural industries like that to contribute to economies?
Yeah, the potential I think could be summed up in two ways. The first one is the instrumental money part. That is money to be made. It's very difficult to estimate a certain figure, but for example, I think the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development suggested that I think in 2011, all the creative economy generated more than $600 billion. That's a lot of money. In Nigeria alone, the movie industry, which actually struggles and functions on shoestring budgets, brings in more than $600 million a year. And it is also contributing to employment. Nollywood employs 1 million people. That's a lot of jobs. But then there is also the non-instrumental part, for me, which I think is so crucial, that we can't really quantify it, but it's so important. For example, look at AIDS. When I was growing up in Uganda, AIDS was a big issue. I had classmates who died, young people from AIDS. Bishops gave speeches, politicians gave speeches. But I'll tell you, one guy who used to deliver the message was a musician, and his name was Phil Rutaya. And his way of sort of sending the message of awareness was quite important. He could deliver the message through his music more than a politician could do. So the connection here is that, he was not exactly directly promoting economic development. Of course, if it makes people more aware of AIDS and less likely to get sick, so that will enable economic progress. Because if people are sick, they're not going to be productive.
With the rise of digital distribution of music and film, this is a huge industry. But it seems that there are only a select few that are actually making most of the money. Do you think that the rise in technology is also increasing inequality?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true that sometimes technology enables this gap, inequality gap, to widen. And I think that we must make sure is that blaming technology is actually may not be the issue, but actually how we deal with how we want to make the system more fair. I think that the way things are structured, if you are famous, you can do very well. Or if you are the owner of the platform, you can do well. But if you are an artist who is starting to make inroads, you're not doing very well. So I think that if you could get the legal systems to actually making sure that artists are paid adequately, it's a difficult balance to find, but for the inequality which is coming up all the time, I think we need to ask harder questions. How can we do better? And okay, I'm not saying there will always be winners and losers, but, you know, maybe instead of taking 85%, 90% or 95%, maybe you take 50% or maybe 55% or maybe 60%. Mm-hmm. But how is the little artist benefiting from this? And this will take a lot of collective effort.
Mm. Yeah. And how does piracy, you also speak in your article about piracy and the challenges that puts toward, the music, especially the music industry.
Yeah, well, piracy is a big threat. Sometimes even people doing it subconsciously, they really do not know that they are downloading or actually they are listening to music which is not legal.
But do you think generally that the content from developing countries is pirated more than content from advanced economies?
Well, Nollywood, which is, I think, a big interesting focus these days.
This is in film industry in Nigeria.
Yeah, Nigeria. They say that they lose 50% of their revenues from piracy. That's a lot. If it's true that they make about $600 million, yeah. So if you lose, about 50% of that, that's a lot of money.
So what do you think it would take to help developing countries sort of take advantage of what cultural industries have to offer?
My first big recommendation here, actually suggestion, is obvious, but it's also not obvious. It's actually a mindset shift. Of course, there's this notion that the arts, really, there's no value in them. But I think it's acute in developing countries because we haven't yet seen big people like Michael Jackson and stuff, or even the Hollywoods of the world, making billions of dollars a year from creative content. So I think if we shift the mindset and say, look, we focus so much on things like extractive industries, yet actually the arts have a promising role to play, both economical and socially. So why don't we actually see how we can promote this sector through diversification? And we're actually just now talking about music and movies, but it's a huge area where you have design, you have sculpture, you have culture tourism. So basically for countries, this is what can we do to actually promote this sector? For too long, we've been locked in the mindset where it's extractive industries. Let's get all gold, let's get silver and stuff. It's useful, but sometimes extractive industries are part of a problem. I'm not trying to say that countries should abandon extracting oil and mining gold. They should continue to do that the best way they can, especially if it's environmentally sustainable. But doesn't mean that don't look at education, don't look at the culture sector to also be part of a development menu. The idea here is that we need to build infrastructure. We need to allocate resources to build legal systems, collection mechanisms, and also even promote things like arts education. If it's true that the new economy, the economy of the future, is going to be based on knowledge, there's substantial evidence which shows that arts education is an area which is so important to get kids to think in a different way. And that we're not going to solve problems with the same way we are doing them. You need to just also be creative, and the arts tend to enable that. They are so important in economic development and even social progress. But also, the other things you have to look at is that how can we get to see that we know about each other? And I think that if I listen to music from Canada, I'm more likely to know about Canada. And then that way, maybe I will go there, start a business, or go there for tourism. And I think the arts have this link which they can do, and just actually be in a more world where we know more about each other. And I think the arts are a wonderful conduit.
Mm. The arts as a means to opening borders.
Yes, so yes.
It's good for people and it's good for the economy as well.
I think so.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
That was Patrick Kabanda, author of Music Going for a Song, published in the September 2016 edition of Finance and Development magazine. The magazine is available online at imf.org/FNB, or you can download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. And you can hear more IMF podcasts like this one on iTunes or SoundCloud or on your favorite podcast app, just search for IMF Podcasts.